Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Mark Perry, an author and historian specializing in military foreign affairs and intelligence analysis. His books include A Fire in Zion, Conceived in Liberty, and his latest book is Talking to Terrorists, Why America Must Engage with Its Enemies. He's the recipient of the 1995 National Jewish Book Award and the prestigious Project Censored Award. He has an article at Foreign Policy, Israel's Secret Staging Ground. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mark Perry.
Good to be here.
And it's no secret that Israel's secret staging ground is Azerbaijan, right?
Well, it's no longer a secret. It's been known to, obviously, Israel and Azerbaijan, but it's also been known in the U.S. intelligence community, which is what really got me started in writing the article. And it seems pretty clear there's a very close relationship between Israel and Azerbaijan, and it fits into Israel's calculation on a prospective war with Iran.
And in a, as you point out in your article, in a memo released by WikiLeaks, it quotes Azerbaijan's President Aliyev as describing his country's relationship with Israel as an iceberg. 9/10 of it is below the surface.
Yes, and that 9/10 are is the security arrangements, presumably, and I think I show in my article, the security arrangements and military arrangements between Israel and Azerbaijan, which are extensive, including arms sales, which are public, but also security arrangements involving intelligence exchanges and potential monitoring of Iranian actions along Azerbaijan's border with Iran.
Well, the Israelis have already been practicing for an airstrike on Iran. 100 Israeli fighters overflew Greece as a part of a, as a simulated attack on Iran. And the whole point of Azerbaijan is its geography. You couldn't basically get much closer to Tehran than Azerbaijan.
That's right. And I make clear in the article, I don't think that Israeli Air Force fighters are going to attack Iran from Azerbaijan. This remains unknown. But I think there's every prospect that Israeli fighters and bombers could use Azerbaijan as a landing point, especially if they start to run out of fuel over the target in Iran. And I think that they would be welcome there. Now, Azerbaijan today said that no foreign power would, and Azerbaijan itself would engage in an attack on Iran. But that, again, dodges the question. Would they be served, would Azerbaijani airfields be used to serve Israeli fighters who could land there after an attack on Iran? And that remains an open question.
But that in itself, Mark Perry, makes an Israeli strike on Iran feasible.
Yes.
Prior to, most analysts say that they couldn't do it without having in-flight refuelers somewhere over Iraq. It's unlikely that Iraq would ever grant the Israelis use of their airspace, given that they're pretty much a country that George W. Bush in his incredible stupidity handed over to Iran. So that's off the table. But if they were able to attack Iran from Israel and then land and refuel on the way out to return to Israel via Azerbaijan, which is not very far from Tehran, the bases are on the Azerbaijani border, are they not?
That's right. And your summary that you just gave is exactly correct. This makes it a lot easier for Israel to attack Iran. They don't have to refuel in the air. They can refuel on the ground for a return trip. It makes search and rescue operations for downed Israeli pilots from Azerbaijan even more probable. And finally, Azerbaijan and Israel have signed an arms agreement where drones, Israeli-designed drones, are being manufactured now in Azerbaijan, and they can be used for reconnaissance over Iran. So this is a very, very close relationship. And I think your summary is quite accurate and well said, that this now makes an attack much more feasible. I don't want to say likely, but it's certainly feasible because they don't have to do the refueling.
Again, I'm speaking with Mark Perry, author, historian who specializes in military foreign affairs and intelligence analysis. He has an article at Foreign Policy, Israel's Secret Staging Ground. And I had previously looked into the possibility of Israel using Georgian air bases. They had a very close relationship, they still have, with the government of Georgia. The defense minister is an Israeli citizen, as is the minister of ethnic affairs. But my understanding is that the neocons, in particular Randy Scheuneman, who was John McCain's national security advisor, when they encouraged Saakashvili, the Russian leader, to flex his muscles, and of course he fell right into Putin's trap, and Putin was able to use that as a pretext to invade and annex quite a bit of the territory. And I believe that since that happened, the use of the Georgian air bases have not been particularly practical or viable, because obviously the Russians would immediately inform the Iranians if aircraft either took off or landed.
I think your understanding of this is exactly my understanding of this. I think that landing or using Georgian air bases is now out of the question. We've seen a shift away from Georgia on the part of Israel, with more emphasis on Azerbaijan. And really, it's on the public record. These two countries are very close. Azerbaijan's very attractive for Israel because there is a Jewish population there that is treated very well. There's a lot of confidence in the Israeli leadership about Azerbaijan, and there have been, since 2007, visit after visit from Israeli official to Azerbaijan. They've even, one of Israeli officials who visited Azerbaijan called it a emerging democracy in a very progressive country. Of course, if you read my article in Foreign Policy, you'll see that that's not exactly true.
That's putting it mildly, Mark Perry. I mean, it was always a joke during the Soviet Union that the KGB general, Aliyev, was one of the biggest crooks in a lexicon of extraordinary crooks. And, you know, he gave Brezhnev a diamond brooch and all kinds of trinkets. But he basically ran a kind of mafia-like operation, which has continued under his son, who is now the godfather, if you will, of Azerbaijan. And, you know, it's basically, as you describe in your article, Azerbaijan is a thuggish, family-run kleptocracy.
Well, that's right. And the State Department here has come to the same conclusion. Of course, we have a very realistic foreign policy here in the United States. It's not as if we ourselves shun Azerbaijan, but we don't have the kind of deeply rooted relationship, business relationship, and military relationship with the country that Israel has. And in frank, you know, to be honest, in the 3 months that I spent researching this and talking to people about Azerbaijan, the extent of the kleptocracy and the extent of the ties between Israel and Azerbaijan are frankly astonishing. I was really taken aback by how deep these ties are and how much we don't know.
Well, we do know, at least there have been reports of activities of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps inside of Azerbaijan, and I think 22 people have been arrested for spying on behalf of Iran. So clearly the Iranians have been watching this for some time, and presumably with some alarm.
I think they're very alarmed. They have had, I don't think there's any denying, Iran has taken action. Anytime Israel signs a military agreement with someone, with some country close to Iran, the Iranians respond. So I suppose in one sense, we could say, and I think accurately, that the conflict that we hope doesn't come, at least most of us hope doesn't come, between Israel and Iran, is already in some respects going on. It's surreptitious, it's intelligence-driven, there are assassinations, arrests,
Cyber sabotage,
a lot of tough words. This is already happening, and some of it, a great deal of it, is happening in Azerbaijan.
So what about, though, Mark Perry, again, author and historian specializing in military foreign affairs and intelligence analysis, he has an article at Foreign Policy, Israel's Secret Staging Ground. What about the 16 million Azeris living in Iran itself? Are they both, I imagine they're both agents for the Iranian government in influencing Azerbaijan, and conversely, for those Azeris working with the Israelis, they'd also be a fertile ground for recruiting infiltrators, or whatever you want to call them.
I think that's right. I will say at the outset, there's no reason to believe that the Azeris in Iran are anything but good Iranian citizens. The Azeris have had difficulty penetrating the Azeri community in Iran, despite the rhetoric about northern Iran being South Azerbaijan. There's been no separatist movement of any considerable extent, but also this is worrying for Iran, and it's especially worrying when you have in the Azerbaijan parliament, it's a parliament in name only, people standing up and talking about this revanchist South Azerbaijan, which is really northern Iran. That is worrying. That it's not a headache that the Iranians need. I dare say it's probably not one that Azerbaijan needs, and yet we hear this rhetoric all the time.
So the Azeris are talking about retaking part of their land that's northern Iran in the way that they talk about Nagorno-Karabakh and their conflict with neighboring Armenia?
Frankly, Azerbaijan and Azerbaijan leadership have been very intent to reassure Iran on this specific point, that they do not want a conflict with Iran, that they view them as brothers, that's the word that they use. That they don't want to stage attacks outside of Azerbaijan aimed at Iran. The Nagorno-Karabakh conflict, on the other hand, is almost mother's milk to people in Azerbaijan. They're very angry about it. They view their enemies in the Caucasus as people who need to be taught a lesson. They had a very difficult time in the 80s and 90s on Nagorno-Karabakh, and they want it back. So this takes prominence for them. And yet we do hear this talk in Azerbaijan of the Azeris, 16 million Azeris, as you mentioned, in Iran.
So what is then going on with the other big neighbor in the neighborhood there, Turkey? Turkey apparently is watching Israel's alliance with Azerbaijan very warily, aren't they?
It's very worrisome. As we know from May 2010, when Israel attacked the Gaza flotilla and killed 8 Turks and 1 Turkish American, Turkish-Israeli relationship, which used to be very strong, has deteriorated. And the Turkish government has been angry with Israel ever since, and that relationship has gotten much worse. They're angrier now than ever, and they're very worried about Israel's penetration of Azerbaijan, which has come at some cost to Turkey. They continue to meet with the Azeri leadership to try to iron out the differences. President Erdogan and the Turkish leadership was recently, that is to say yesterday, in Iran. This came up. And I think that Turkey has actually played an adult role here. They're trying to dampen the possibility of conflict. They're trying to mediate the dispute over nuclear weapons in Iran and the nuclear program in Iran. They certainly don't also want Israel playing around on their borders or, if I could add, in Kurdistan, which Israel is doing also.
Well, but surely a big item on the agenda with the Turkish leadership meeting in Tehran with the Iranian leadership would be Syria, because they're on opposite sides in what's becoming more and more of a proxy war.
That's true, and there's no love lost between the Turkish leadership and
Assad.
Right. So, you know, they're trying to dampen that conflict. It's going to be very hard to do. The Iranians are very hardcore on this. They support Assad. I don't think that's going to change. So here we are. It's yet another flashpoint in this great arc from everything that includes the Arab Spring, from Egypt up through Lebanon and Syria and then extending across to Iran, a very dangerous neighborhood.
Well, we know from the emails of the Assad family emails that CNN got hold of that basically, the Assad family regime there checks in with the Iranians on almost everything. I mean, it's almost as if Iran is running the place.
Well, it's true. Those were amazing emails, frankly. And Iran feels surrounded, and they are. while Iraq has been pro-Iranian, the Americans still have their hand in, and they have their hand in the Persian Gulf. Israel is now in Azerbaijan. Turkey is having problems with Kurdistan. As I say, it's a dangerous neighborhood, and I think from the Iranian point of view, they really need to hang on to Syria to kind of break through that isolation that they have, and they're very intent to save Assad if they can.
Well, ironically, Mark Perry, the thing that would save Assad and his criminal, brutal regime is an Israeli attack on Iran. I mean, that, wouldn't that take the entire focus off Assad, and the entire Arab world would be, even though they're not too happy with the Iranians, would, you know, be forced to support Tehran?
I think if there's an attack on Iran, the entire calculation of our conversation here shifts. All the pieces are swept off the board. You would see throughout the Middle East, and particularly the Arab world, real instability and real anger towards Israel. And if you're sitting in Israel, I hope that they see this very clearly, that this would be very counterproductive for them. It would turn potential friends into certain enemies, which is what they've done with Turkey and their bad relations with Turkey. Right now, what Israel needs is a foreign policy which cultivates friendships in the Arab world and not a foreign policy that makes things worse.
Well, it's pretty clear that Netanyahu and Barak are pretty bent on doing something, whether it's rhetorical or not, I don't know. I mean, obviously, Netanyahu would rather talk about what a terrible country Iran is than deal with the Palestinian issue, which he simply doesn't seem to want to talk about. So it sort of works as a distraction for the Israelis. But thank you very much for joining us here today, Mark Perry.
It's been my pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Mark Perry, an author, historian who specializes in military, foreign affairs, and intelligence analysis. His books include A Fire in Zion, Conceived in Liberty. His latest book is Talking to Terrorists, Why America Must Engage with Its Enemies. He is the recipient of the 1995 National Jewish Book Award and the prestigious Project Censored Award. He has an article at Foreign Policy, Israel's Secret Staging Ground. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking with Van Jones.